Our scripture for today comes from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, our souls up. And may what is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you. Amen. So this should be a fairly familiar passage to a lot of us. It's found in two places. It's found in Matthew and it's also found in Luke. In Matthew, we find it in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is doing a lot of teaching. And in this portion of Scripture, he is talking about prayer. What prayer is, what it should be, and how it should be done. So he starts off here, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. It was a very common practice for the very religious in Jerusalem to be, look, like they are constantly in prayer. And they did this because they wanted all of the other people to see just how good that they were, how religious they were, and to a certain extent, how much better they were than you were. So what Jesus is saying here is prayer is not about yourself. It's not about getting recognition for all of the praying that you are doing. Prayer is to be done in a more one-on-one personal way, because it is simply you talking to God one-on-one. It's not about showboating and being seen. Because the people that did this, and to a certain extent do it today, they have received what they're looking for. They're looking for recognition. They're getting recognition. That is their reward for it, for what they are doing. He talks about going into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father. Prayer, again, is supposed to be, for the most part, a personal thing with us. Again, it is that one-to-one conversation with God. Yes, you can pray in the middle of a busy crowd. You can pray on a subway or something like that, but you need to do it in such a way as you do not call attention to yourself. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. A lot of times, well, I've read of a number of authors that when they're writing a book, they say sometimes they just take and throw words at the wall and see what sticks. And a lot of people, I think, when they're praying, have that idea. I'm just going to take and throw a lot of words at Jesus, hope that something sticks, and hoping that I get my message through this. A lot of what I've seen with televangelists on TV, they're there trying to be so flowery with their words. Oh, Lord in heaven. Oh, you are so great. You are so good. You are so wonderful. Oh, Lord, we do not deserve you. They just throw stuff out because they think that they need to be showy, that they need to show how well that they can preach and how they know all of the right words to say. God doesn't care about that. God, all that God can really cares about when you pray is what is on your heart. And let me tell you, my friends, there is no wrong way to pray. There have been times when I have just had a conversation with God. No, dear Lord in heaven, it's just, hey, Jesus, would you please do something about this guy in front of me? Get him moving or something. I guess, but God doesn't have a secret code that you need to take and you need to follow. All you need to do is just say what's on your heart. Say it in your own words. It doesn't have to be flowery words. You don't have to trip all over your tongue trying to impress God. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So He knows what you need. And that, my friends, is what we need to pray. What we need. Now, in the next part, starting in verse 9, this is Jesus saying, how should we pray? Pray then in this way, and He goes on. Jesus, I don't think, actually meant this to be a prayer. I think He meant this to be an outline as to how to pray. So He starts off here, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So He starts out here, what I think He is saying is when you start out, give some praise to God. Give some thanks to God. Acknowledge who God is, what He and what He has done, and what He continues to do in our daily lives. Give us this day our daily bread. So if you go back to the Exodus, every morning, what would happen? There'd be dew on the ground that would turn into manna. And people went out and gathered what they needed to make it through the day. So, Jesus is saying something similar to this. He's saying, pray to God that your daily needs may be met. Now, he talks about bread here. Obviously, that is about sustenance. But it could also be, Lord, I've got something coming up today, and I would really like if you would help me to be able to handle it, deal with it, get through it, whatever. This is about asking God to meet our needs. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I grew up Presbyterian. And when we'd say the Lord's Prayer, it was always debt and debtors. So that was the way that it was supposed to be. Then, Holly and I started attending a Methodist church. And just like disciples, they say, forgive us our temptations as we forgive those that tempt us. And I was like, no. That's wrong. And I have to say that I was very happy when the Methodist preacher actually acknowledged that it should be debt and debtors. But that's just me. That's me being prideful. Now in college, Holly and I went to Grove City College, and we had multiple denominations there. And Dr. Richard Morley, who was dean of the chapel, when we would say the Lord's Prayer, we would always say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you use there. It's got the same meaning. This is us acknowledging that we, because we have sinned, we owe a debt to God. Because we have fallen short, we have this debt to God, and we are asking Him here, Lord, please forgive us of our sins, of the things that we have done wrong. And by the way, Lord, forgive me the same way that I forgive others. That's important to keep in mind. If somebody wrongs you, how do you respond to that? What we're doing here is we're asking God to forgive us in the same way as we forgive others, which can be very scary if you think about it, some of the ways. I get scared when I think about that, and I think about when I get road rage. Oh, Lord. Please don't. Oh, please forgive me everything. You know, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Be with me, Lord. Be with me and help me to steer away from things that I should not do. Rescue me. When I get myself into trouble, please rescue me. Show me a way out of what I have gotten myself into. Now, it's not part of the prayer, but 14 and 15 go along with what Jesus has said. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Again, it goes back to that part of the prayer. And Jesus is saying, just remember the way in which God has forgiven your sins. And act like that to others. I think he might have said, because he knows us so well, this is how God forgives you. Now go try to forgive others in that manner. Now, some of you may have noticed that there's something missing from the scripture. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, there's a part at the end that is not in the Bible. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Where the heck did that come from? Well, yes, it's not part of the scripture that we have. But supposedly back around the time of Elizabeth I and Henry VIII, when there was this split with the Roman Catholic Church and the start of the Church of England, or the Anglican Church as it is called today, that the Anglican Church wanted to show that it was not part of the Roman Catholic Church anymore. So they added the coda, a doxology, if you will, to the end. And more than likely they found inspiration for this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. Then God blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. God, and David said, blessed are you, God, O Lord, of your ancestor Israel forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. So that's kind of, that's your history lesson, where that all came from. So I want to conclude the day, and some of you probably know this. Who has heard of praying ACTS, A-C-T-S. Okay. That's a very good thing. What? That's Holly's favorite. Okay. So, quiz time. A is for adoration. So you start off just like in the Lord's Prayer. You give God praise. You give him honor for who he is, as Lord over all. And remember, don't get too fancy because you don't need it. God knows who it is. This is just us acknowledging that we understand that. C, confession. Honestly, I'm going to say this again. Honestly, deal with the sin that is in your life. If you have strayed, admit it. Admitting to something is usually the first step in overcoming or having or being able to deal with whatever it is. T. Thanksgiving. What'd you say? Thanksgiving. Okay, I thought you said something else. Thanksgiving. Verbalize what you're grateful for in your life and in the world around you. So what do I do when I pray? Thank you for Holly. Thank you for Ethan. Thank you that you have taken care of us. Thank you for, and I hit upon my closest relatives. But give thanks, even if it's a little thing that you're thankful for. Give thanks to God about that. And finally, S is for supplication. And this is where you pray for the needs of others, the needs of your community. And don't forget to pray for your needs. Don't forget yourself. Pray for what you need. Pray for what your neighbor needs. Even if you don't like your neighbor, pray for whatever they need. You might know that they're going through a hard time and it's making them irritable and cranky. And you don't necessarily like being cranky that. I know I don't. Pray for them. Pray for their needs. Pray for your needs and expect an answer. And let me end with this. Does anybody know the three ways that God can answer prayer? Yes, no, and wait. Or as I like to say, yes, no, and hang on. So, as you pray this week,
remember adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Amen.